Welcome to the virtual meeting of the Zoning Board of Appeals. A few notes before we begin. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you may reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. Board members, please use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. The chair will do their best to call on members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. Your mics will remain off until you're called upon. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Applicants may use their video during the public hearing portion of the case. Applicants' video will be turned off when that portion is completed. For members of the public other than applicants, please do not use your video. If you turn your video on, it will be shut off.
Thank you for that. And for those joining us, thank you for your patience. We had a delay in starting based on an overlap with another meeting, and now we're here and ready to go. So I will call to order the Zoning Board of Appeals meeting for December 18th, 2025. The time is 5:06. Present tonight are board members, Cliff Goodhart and Sam Fritz. And we have city staff, Katie Bannon, Carrie Olson, and Gabby Ortega. Take a few minutes to explain the procedures we follow for you to support or oppose an agenda item. I remind everyone to please mute yourself when you are not called upon to speak. First, if you've not already done so, anybody wishing to register their support or opposition to an agenda item or wishing to speak on an agenda item, cityofmadison.com/meeting-registration. Registration is required for all speakers, including applicants, because we will record the hearing and use this recording to prepare meeting minutes. We follow an agenda. I will announce each agenda item. Katie will then give an introduction to your agenda item. When your project is called, I will call on you to speak. I will ask you to state your name for the records, and you will have 3 minutes to speak. We ask that you describe why your variance is necessary and what you have done to minimize the request for the variance. The board may ask questions, and I'll ask you to rejoin the audience. Those in the audience in favor of the proposal may follow comments and opposition. You will be given an opportunity to make rebuttal remarks and respond to any additional questions from the board. Public participation on an agenda item will then close, and the board will deliberate and vote. You will hear us discussing your case, but you will not be able to participate or comment during that period. Approval requires a majority of the members present tonight. There are three members here tonight. If you have questions after the board's action, please contact Katie Bannon tomorrow morning. Her phone number is 608 266 4569 or email at kbannon@cityofmadison.com. If you are bringing any information which was not included in the original application, we will require a copy for our records. The first item on our agenda tonight is the minutes of the meeting of November 20th, 2025. Is there a motion? Cliff, with a motion to approve. A
Yep.
second?
Yes, to approve the minutes.
Thank you. A second? Sam, that's got to be you.
I can second, although I don't believe I was at that meeting. So
Right,
you
you can
can still be
abstain
a
from voting.
second.
Okay, I'll second.
Thank you. Any comments or corrections to the minutes? I noted one typographical error on the very bottom of page three, the very last line. Word t'other shows up. And I think it was either the other or other. Minor correction.
Thank you.
Any other comments on the minutes? Is there any opposition to recording a unanimous, excuse me, a vote of Cliff and myself to approve the minutes, with Sam abstaining since he was not attending that last meeting? Seeing none, the motion is approved. Next item is public comment. This is for public comments for the board, not on a specific agenda item. We don't have anybody registered for that item, so we'll move on. Next is disclosures or recusals. Board members have anything to disclose or wish to recuse themselves? Seeing none, we'll move on to our regular agenda. This is item 91142, Charles Gates and Candy Schrank, owners of the property at 5042 Lake Mendota Drive, request a lakefront yard setback variance to build an addition to a single-family house in Alder District 19. Katie, can you give us an overview on this, please?
Yes, let me share the plans here to start. I think it's slowly loading still here. Okay, hopefully you can see that now. So this is a lakefront, thanks, Carrie, lakefront yard setback request. So we have specific setbacks for lakefront properties. The property we're looking at today is 5042 Lake Mendota Drive. Lakefront yard setbacks are determined based on the location of surrounding other buildings, principal buildings. There's a couple different methods. In this case, the method of using five lots or 300 feet, the properties within that distance, whichever is less, was used. I'll zoom in a little bit here. 5042 Lake Mendota Drive. You can see the houses here, existing house. This is the neighboring boathouse. That's very little room between them, but that's on the neighboring property. So the house is here, garage here for this property. And that this also shows the lakefront setbacks of other properties within five lots or 300 feet. And using that, it was determined that the minimum lakefront yard setback for this property, 5042 Lake Mendota Drive, is 98.5 feet. This is a site plan that shows the property today. Again, garage closer to Lake Mendota Drive, and the house closer to Lake Mendota, the boathouse again on that neighboring property. So you can see today how close that house is to Lake Mendota. There's a proposed addition on the existing house. So existing footprint here, existing deck and loft, proposed addition here in pink. The entire house today is already located within the lakefront yard setback. Again, I mentioned that's 98.5 feet that are required. What's proposed for the addition is a setback of 35.5 feet for a variance of 63 feet. This exhibit provided by the applicants just explains lists the lakefront setbacks of the surrounding properties that were shown on that exhibit. And we use the distance to raise decks or the house. Raised decks can't encroach into the lakefront yard setback. So if there is a raised deck, an elevated deck is what we sometimes say, over 3 feet tall. That's the measurement that's used to determine the lakefront yard setback of those surrounding houses. Loading a little slow for me, so hopefully it's not too laggy. There's these renderings showing existing and proposed. Existing here. And then above three proposed views of that loft addition. Moving on to some elevations. Proposed here. And then a floor plan as well is included. The applicants also shared some photographs of the property in the context of surrounding properties. So the red arrow here indicates their home. Here's a view from the lake as well on these three. Views from a couple different locations as indicated on the photographs. Additional photographs of views. Here's an exhibit that shows, rotated here. Did I miss beforehand? Sorry. Rotated the wrong way. Sorry about that. Just want to make sure you can see this better. This is an exhibit showing some of the slope on the site here. They may talk about this a little bit more, but here's the subject property, 5042 Lake Mendota, and neighboring properties, their placement on the slope. Some letters from neighbors as well that were included with your packet. Now, I will also share some photographs I took of the site. That has loaded okay. So this is a photograph showing the view from Lake Mendota Drive. This is that garage that's close to the street for this property. The house to the left is the neighbor. This is moving along on the west side of the garage, looking towards the house in Lake Mendota. So you can just kind of barely see through the trees here the location of the existing house. And this is a view of the garage looking towards Lake Mendota Drive. So you can already see how some slope is occurring almost immediately on the property as you move towards the lake. Garage here on the right, just to orient you, looking down towards the lake and the house. This is moving further towards the lake. You can see these steps down to the house and the variance for where that loft addition is proposed. Another view of that south front elevation looking towards the lake again, and the existing loft that they're looking to expand. This is the west side elevation, so you're kind of looking back towards that door that you saw. West side elevation, and then the rear lakeside elevation here is on the left. You can see how there's a pretty significant slope. This is that rear lakefront north elevation. So you can see how it's quite a bit taller elevation looking towards the lake compared to the front side facing the street. So here you can see on the left-hand side the house again facing the street. I'm not sorry, not facing the street, facing the lake, and then the Lake Mendota here on the right-hand side gives you a little bit of an idea of how close it is. On the left here, you can see that boathouse I mentioned as I was sharing the site plan. This is neighbor's boathouse, rear lakefront north elevation, and then the side east elevation here on the left. This is a view showing kind of that east side elevation that I showed from the lakefront side, and then that front south elevation again. This is looking towards Lake Mendota, you can see here on the right-hand side. That's the variance request before you today for a lakefront yard setback.
Thank you. I've got a little interruption in my internet service, so I'm trying not to talk over people. Yes. We have three registrants for this item. We have the owners, Chuck Gates and Candy Schrank, both registered in support and wishing to speak. There's also Chris Hacker in support wishing to speak. He's not listed as representing anyone. Chuck and Candy, if you could introduce yourselves, and we'll start there.
Hi, this is Chuck. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. So here we go for my 3 minutes, I believe. Correct? Okay,
before you start,
that's right.
Chuck, is Chris Hacker here to represent you, or...
Well, he's the, I mean, we put together all the documents basically ourselves, but we're working with Chris and Chad's design build ultimately to build the project. So he's been an advisor here with us on the
All
project.
Right. So you and Candy could each have 3 minutes, or you can combine that and speak for 6 minutes if you'd like or need that amount of time to explain your proposal. But first I'd ask you, was Katie's description of your request accurate?
Yes. One thing that wasn't mentioned was a Native American effigy mound, right up where the other buildings were, where you would logically build a house if it wasn't there. That's just one thing that I think is substantial, plus some very mature oak trees on the way down.
You can explain all that during your time if need be. But the basic question
accurate.
Was what she said was accurate. So you and Candy are entitled each to 3 minutes, and I'll let you get started and see where you go.
Okay, well,
you're welcome to turn your camera on if you'd like.
Okay,
or
thank
not,
you.
Your choice.
I'll forego that due to the potential technical difficulties. My name's Chuck Gates, living at 504 Lake Mendota Drive, and my wife Candy and I have owned and lived here for more than 41 years. And first off, a quick thanks to you, the zoning board members, for your time and your voluntary service on behalf of all Madison's residents. Greatly appreciated. One of my passions is energy conservation, and the main goal of our planned house improvement project is to reduce our energy use and carbon footprint by super insulating. We're going to replace all the windows with quad glazing and install an additional 2 inches of insulating foam to the walls. The house is relatively small with an inefficient floor plan because it was originally a one-room cottage with subsequent add-ons. Musical instruments occupy our second and only spare bedroom, and we exercise in the entryway. So it makes a world of sense to us to combine a small addition with our super insulation project, especially given the difficulty of construction logistics here. As city staff has determined, quote, the conditions would make adding livable space in the zoning code allowed alternative location overly burdensome. We've done our best to determine the least impactful option. We settled on a 247 square foot addition, mostly to the street side of the current loft, which doesn't add any footprint, has minimal visual impact, and takes up no additional green space. I'll be happy to go into more detail on what other burdensome options there were.
And you do have half the time left.
I believe we've demonstrated we meet all the other standards required to grant a variance and refer you to the staff report for more point-by-point detail. Unique circumstances include the house location at the bottom of a steep hill dotted with mature trees and a Native American effigy bear mound in between it and the road. All these circumstances existed long before we purchased the property. We've submitted letters of support from our immediate neighbors in our Alder and have contacted the Friends of nearby Merrill Springs Park and all the neighbors the city notified, asking for feedback, and have heard no objections. The nearest houses are all at much higher elevation, perched on top of the hill versus our location at the bottom. That and the existing evergreen trees make our house almost invisible to the nearest neighbors, with or without the proposed larger loft. We certainly believe the proposed variance is compatible with the character of the immediate neighborhood. There's a huge range of housing, from modest one-story homes with substantial green space to very large three-plus story homes, taking up high percentages of the lots. Our house will still be one of the smallest with one of the largest percentages of green space and will still be only a fraction of the volume of many nearby lake homes on similar sized lots.
You have
Although we're much
15
closer to the
seconds.
lake than the immediate neighbors, there are houses and boathouses nearby that are similar.
Gabby was suggesting your time had expired.
No,
Gabby, were
it's
you
15 seconds and I paused it, so
using the 3 minute or 6 minute?
three minutes.
Okay. So
So you have like
well,
12
continue,
seconds.
Chuck, and if you want to use part of Candy's time, you're certainly welcome to.
Well, we were guilty of not quite understanding combining, and I believe that I've covered pretty much everything that I want to now, and look forward to answering any other questions that you
Thank
have.
you. Candy, if you could unmute yourself and state your name for the record, please.
My name is Candy Schrank, and should I just go ahead?
And if you had anything to add to what Chuck said, you do have 3 minutes available.
Well, I'm obviously one of the applicants seeking the variance, and other than that, I just want to voice my support for approving our variance request. I believe in our application we have demonstrated that our project meets all the standards for the variance. It was implied that we need to present those in our 3 minutes, but I don't, you know, there's no way we could present all that. But I believe that our application and also the city zoning staff report recommended that the variance for the lakefront setback could be met, and that all the standards for the variance issuance were met in the application. Other than that, thank you for your time, and I am available for questions if needed.
Thank you, and I'll compliment you, Candy and Chuck, on your application. It was nicely detailed and informative. We also have Chris Hacker here from 3212 Commercial Avenue in Madison in support, wishing to speak. And Chris, at this time, if you could state your name for the record.
Yep, my name is Chris Hacker. I'm the development manager for Chaz Design Build, and I am the project developer working with Chuck and Candy Gates.
Thank you. And typically, we ask that people describe why the variance is needed and what's been done to minimize it. And you can start from there, and any other comments you'd like to make within your 3 minutes is fine.
Yeah, I prepared a little page here that's probably somewhat redundant with what Chuck and Candy have already spoken to, but I'd like to reiterate that this is one of the earliest lakefront homes from like the 1800s, and that it's entirely inconspicuous and just as difficult to access as it is to see from the street, due to that steep approach that Katie illustrated and its proximity to the effigy mound that they maintain and actively protect. The home predates current zoning codes and sits entirely within the lakefront setback, which kind of creates that unusual circumstance. What we see is the hardship caused by the order and ordinance, not by the present or future owners. We were engaged by Chuck and Candy to super insulate and air seal the home, first against harsh lakefront weather. But then climate change, and hoping to reduce energy use in general, and so reduce the home's environmental impact. We were also asked to add a modest, discrete addition within the existing footprint of the home, and to avoid any outward expansion onto logistically burdensome and sacred land. They wanted to align with the spirit of our current zoning while honoring the home's historic character and helping to retain the neighborhood context. And as the good neighbors they are, they wanted to ensure solutions remain visually unobtrusive from everybody from as many angles as we could. And I think they've done a great job of preserving the neighborhood aesthetics and the views that their neighbors already clearly enjoy from the views you saw from Katie's report.
You've got
The
just over a minute.
steep front yard and the effigy mount prevent any expansion toward the street, as you're aware. The proposed addition within the existing footprint of the home will remain nearly invisible, and it'll help bring some light back into the house and cure some of the shadow cast by the hill and the neighbor's property above. The project preserves one of the lake's earliest homes, maintaining historical continuity and neighborhood character. It demonstrates environmental stewardship through high energy standards and protects sacred land. Rather than selling for redevelopment, which could erase history and disrupt the neighborhood, Chuck and Candy are investing in sustainability and preservation for future generations. Chaz Design Build believes this approach reflects the true spirit and the intent of today's zoning code while benefiting the entire community. Thanks.
Thank you. At this point, it's time for questions from board members of any of the speakers or staff. We have no other registrants on this item, either in support or opposition. Sam.
Just a quick question for Katie. I believe the staff report mentions that the entire house is within the setback, and there's a note here that in addition to the rear of the house would require significant site work. I guess my question is, if the entire house is currently within the setback, would it even be possible to make an addition at the rear of the house that would not require a variance?
Take a look here, and I can share plan. I think it has loaded now. I just get an approximate here. Can always be a little bit of a challenge of where is the closest point. I see Chris has his hand raised. Maybe he knows right offhand. Yeah, I'm not seeing any point. At least one portion, the portion closest to the house would have to be within the lakefront yard setback. So we would still be considering a variance here tonight.
Okay, so basically just to kind of put a point in that, there's no way to make any sort of addition without a variance.
Yes.
Thanks.
Other questions for any of the speakers or staff? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and I would entertain a motion from the board. Sam?
I move to approve.
Thank you. A second by Cliff.
Second the motion, yes.
We'll go on to the standards. For our audience, there are six standards that we use for every variance, and the board must find that each of the six standards have been met for a variance to be approved. Number one, there are conditions unique to the property of the applicant that do not apply generally to other properties in the district. Sam?
I think the most obvious one here is the placement of the house. Obviously, as we just discussed, the placement of the house is currently entirely within the setback region. This is, based on relative distance of this house to the neighboring houses. And then, as noted in the application, there's also some site challenges with respect to the elevation profile of the lot and existing items on the lot, including an effigy mound.
Thank you. Cliff, anything you'd like to add to that?
No.
Okay. Sam did a good job on that one. Number two, the variance is not contrary to the spirit, purpose, and intent of the regulations in the zoning district and is not contrary to the public interest. Who wants to go on this one? Sam, thank you.
So, as I understand, the intent of the lakefront yard setback is to establish general uniformity to the setback abutting properties. Here, the property is already located fully within the setback, so we're not really discussing that aspect in my mind. Further, it seems like there's an aspect of preserving view sheds and limiting bulk. It seems like here, the change to the property is adding some bulk on top of the house, but I think that's mitigated by the fact of the relative placement of this house relative to the houses around it, where the sight lines of those houses that are higher up the gradient will look over this house. I believe from a quick glance at the plans, the change in the height of the house is minimal within like a foot or two. So
Yeah. Cliff, again, anything to add to that?
I would just say that the requested variance would, let's see, I think it's in keeping with the spirit, purpose, and intent of the lakefront yard setback requirements.
Certainly, in particular, because it's starting there and has been there longer than the adjacent properties. We'll move on to standard three. For an area variance, compliance with the strict letter of the ordinance would unreasonably prevent use of the property for a permitted purpose or would render compliance with the ordinance unnecessarily burdensome. Sam.
I think that compliance with the strict letter of the ordinance would be would unreasonably prevent the use of the property for permitted purpose because here the applicants are using the property for a permitted purpose living, and it seems like to change the property in any sort of way, they would have to A, get a variance, or B, pick up the property and move it, or pick up the house rather and move it outside of the setback region. And that would be unnecessarily burdensome.
Yes. Cliff, comments?
Well, also the effigy mound on the property puts even further limits on feasible locations for any new development.
Yes, the whole balance of the lot is very challenging. We'll move to standard four. The alleged difficulty or hardship is created by terms of the ordinance rather than by a person who has a present interest in the property. Sam.
The applicants didn't choose to locate this house where it was. Like we've mentioned, it looks like the house has been in this location since the early 1900s. And let me just read this again. Created by the person. Oh, so it's created by the ordinance. We've talked about this with some previous zoning ordinances where they have this kind of relative. The setback is created based on this relative measurement here, because the ordinance is using this relative measurement, and this house happens to be just located so much closer to the shoreline than the other houses. It creates kind of a situation that maybe the ordinance didn't really account for. And so it's not created by the applicants, but rather by the terms of the ordinance itself.
Thank you. Cliff, anything to add?
No.
Thank you. We'll move on to standard five. The proposed variance shall not create substantial detriment to adjacent property. Cliff.
Okay. Well, as we have discussed previously, the existing house and proposed addition are significantly downhill from any of the neighboring houses. And it seems that the proposed variance won't have any substantial impacts to light and air on any adjacent property or cause any detriment to them.
Thank you. Sam, anything to add?
I guess I'll just say that there is some amount of bulk that's being added on top of the house, it seems like, but that certainly doesn't seem like it's going to create a detriment to adjacent properties, let alone a substantial detriment.
All right, we'll move to standard six. The proposed variance shall be compatible with the character of the immediate neighborhood. Yeah.
I think the staff report describes the character of this neighborhood as eclectic, which I like. I bike through this neighborhood all the time, and it seems like the changes that are being proposed to this house would be in line with the styles of the current neighborhood, the characteristics of the current neighborhood.
Thank you. With anything to add?
No, I don't.
All right. So we'll go to voting here. Just for our audience, I'll note that in accord with city policy, the chair only votes on items if it would affect the outcome of those items. So at this point, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote to approve the requested variance? Seeing none, we'll record that variance as approved and move on to our next agenda item. This is item 91143. Kevin Sorg, a representative of the owner of 5125 Lake Mendota Drive, requests a height variance for an addition to a detached garage for a single-family house in Alder District 19. Katie, if you could fill us in on this one.
Thank you, Chair. I'll start by sharing the application. So this is just down the street on Lake Mendota Drive as well. So don't get too confused. It was a little confusing for us, I think, as we were putting together materials at times this month. 5125 Lake Mendota Drive. This is not a lakefront property. It's on the other side of Lake Mendota Drive, just down the block. So there's a few photographs that have been provided here by the applicant. This is an aerial photo showing the house and the area of work. Getting a little bit closer, here's the existing garage inset into the hillside. The site plan calls it a carport. You know, hard to say, is it a garage or a carport? Maybe the doors don't function today, but you can see its location here on the property and the existing single family house. What's proposed is to put an addition on top of that existing garage. So here's a demolition plan. And the proposed first floor and second floor. So adding some occupiable space above the garage. Roof framing plan. Here are a couple elevations. So the variance request before you today is for a maximum height variance for an accessory structure. So any detached building Like this is called an accessory structure under co our code. And those are measured differently than principal structures in our code. So a house, if you remember, probably at least a few months ago, but earlier this year, we had a variance request for a maximum height variance for a principal building. And in those cases, we measure all four sides and take an average of those four sides. It's measured at the midpoint of grade up to the highest point on a structure. We do it a little bit differently with accessory structures. It's just really measured from one side at grade, the front side. So in this case, it's kind of inset into the hill and an embankment. The measurement, I'll just share here. This graphic that we use often with customers to explain how height is measured for accessory structures, we're measuring from grade at the front, and then it's the midpoint here between the peak and the sidewall. So in this case, we're measuring from that front facing the street to the midpoint here. The maximum for that measurement is 15 feet. What's proposed is 23.7 feet for a variance request of 8.7 feet. Probably nothing to really mention there. I will share some photographs I took of the site. Get a better idea of conditions. Hopefully you're now seeing this. So this is a photograph from Lake Mendota Drive looking towards the property. This is that garage that you saw in the photograph provided by the applicant. You can see the existing single family house here above. So you can see quite a few steps to get up to their front door. So significant slope on the site, really, other than the front side where we measure height from, the other sides are today completely below grade. But pretty much. It's hard to tell a little bit with the snow, but almost completely below grade. Sorry, trying to get back to. Here we go. So the variance is above here. They're adding that occupiable space is what's proposed, and that is over the maximum height limit of 15 feet for an accessory structure. North front elevation, so looking a little bit towards those stairs going up. This is the view kind of above the existing garage looking towards Lake Mendota Drive. So you can again see that there's quite a bit of slope here. This is looking towards from above the garage towards the house. Moving towards the east side and front north elevation of the property. This is the view kind of from the front stoop of the house or close to the front stoop. You can kind of see the front stoop here on the right-hand side, looking towards Lake Mendota Drive. This is the west side elevation, so we're moving away from the garage towards the other side of the house. Again, looking towards the street. This is the rear elevation, as well as that west side elevation, east side elevation. So can't really see from here, but if you went forward a little bit more, you'd see where the garage is. It's the top of the garage. So these are those steps again, like towards Lake Mendota Drive that we saw from the street and indicating where the variance is requested there above the existing garage. Steps up to the house again. And again, just a viewpoint of the whole property from the street. That's the variance request before you today.
Thank you. We have one registrant for this application. We have Todd Evans of 5350 Westport Road, Madison, in support, wishing to speak and representing the property owners, Phil and Sandy Simon. Todd, if you'd unmute yourself and introduce yourself to us, please.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hi, I am Todd. I'm with Bachman Construction here in Madison. And we have been working with Phil and Sandy to, they want to, so they have been living in this house for 45 years. And if
Todd,
they're,
before you get started, let me just give you the introduction, what you've heard already, but you'll
okay.
have 3 minutes to speak, and we ask that you
Okay.
indicate why the variance is necessary and what
Okay.
you've done to minimize the need for it.
Thank you.
Go ahead, please.
So yes, so the homeowners lived in the house for 45 years, and they have walked up those steps, and now they're in their mid-70s. They want to stay at home, so we proposed to take that concrete cap off, put a we got to build up the landscape or the sidewalls, so with the go up to the top of the grade on the back side, up closer to the house. Then we're going to put an 8 foot second floor, or I guess it'd be second floor walls. And with a minimum pitch roof, which would be like a three pitch, so it'd be up only about 18 inches above the 8 foot roof line. We'd like to put an elevator in, so when they walk from their in their garage, because they have not had just that picture you see, they have no garage doors. So we're going to take that, like to take that middle out, put a garage door in, put a lift in, so they can go up into the into the second floor, and then they'll put a sidewalk right over to their house. And so that's kind of how we've been working with some drawings, and we've been working with Katie. We want to get the least amount of height that we're trying. So it'd be about a total of from a second floor deck, which is 8 foot walls, and we even put right now we have it as a gable truss, but we could also put a mono truss, like a three pitch mono truss, about the least we could do. For Wisconsin's, you know, with a snow load that would be on the back side of the roof. And so it would be down low, they would not impede in anybody's view. We're going to make the whole outside so it's the same look as their house. So they want to be, you know, a stay at home in their years coming up. So in trying to minimize that by putting in a lift so they can walk upstairs and go right directly over into their house. And that's about all I have for you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Board members, question for the speaker or for staff? Sam.
Katie, I'm just having a hard time, I guess, kind of understanding this measurement. Can you maybe describe it using the picture a little bit more? And I guess part of my question here is it sounds like this occupiable space above a garage is kind of a common use that people have above their garages, but we also have this height limit. So I guess how is it possible to have an occupiable space above a garage that does comply with this height limit?
I guess I don't understand the question. We're just trying to do the minimum, just so I mean it's going to be storage or just whatever we can have on the six. So we're backing it off the street about 6 feet from where the front of the garage was, taking it back towards the house so we can get a less of a square footage up there so we can get a smaller pitch on our roof so we're not up as high as we can. But with we got to go up about 5 feet approximately from right now where the top of the garage is. To where the because it's a really weird shape, as you can see with the built into the hillside. So from the back of the garage up to where like it'd be kind of level with the house is about 5 foot up. So we're just trying to do the minimum with a you know with a decking system then an 8 foot walls and the smallest truss that we can get, just so you know for a snow load up there so we can put just like a 312 pitch roof on there.
Yeah, so to explain a little bit more about how the zoning code looks at how to measure garages and how commonly there is the possibility to add occupiable space over a garage, and that was part of the intention with having height measured this way, is that there is the opportunity if you're not doing a roof flat roof, right? So that there's kind of a disincentive to do sidewalls with a flat roof because we measure at the top here. The actual zoning
Right.
code is right here. But when you do a pitched roof like this, can measure at the midpoint here. And so there's an it's intended that there would be some space here that could be occupiable, but you're kind of minimizing the bulk with the way garages are measured. And there's also the opportunity to add a dormer. So that's where it was intended that you could add this occupiable space, but they're dealing with kind of some of these unique conditions of how the garage is situated today and the slope of the lot that make it not work the same way that it would on a typical property where the grade is here on all sides. And you can do kind of a typical sidewall for a first story and yet be able to create this occupiable space. That makes
Okay.
sense, Sam.
I think maybe I'm just dense, but my understanding is that you're measuring the height from the front of the garage.
Yep.
Okay.
Front for the grade, and then the midpoint between the sidewall and the roof peak. So it's turned the other direction with this one, but we still measure the top in the same way. Take a second to load here.
Right. Yep.
So we measure here. This is the front, the side that's facing Lake Mendota Drive. So we don't measure from any of the other sides of the grade. It's just at the front. And then it's the midpoint between the sidewall and the peak right here. And that's where we get that measurement of, typically we'd have a roof more like maybe there. That won't allow for you to have an occupiable space with a door that swings out. So the proposal here is a height at that midpoint of 23.7 feet.
And just so I understand, when we're talking about measuring from grade, this, that measuring point right there, is that where kind of the structure starts up on the slope, or that's down from like the road, since the garage is kind of placed up a little bit from the road?
It's at the structure.
Okay.
And Katie, with that drawing you just showed, it was not, I think, 22 feet up to kind of the base of the floor level in the existing home, but they wouldn't be able to meet the 15-foot requirement. They wouldn't be able to add much of any space above this garage, given its placement. Right.
Yeah, it was something we definitely tried to talk some way to do a roof here that would still allow enough height that you could have some occupiable space. And it seemed like because of where the grade is here, there was not a way to do that. Because the kind of that first floor is so tall, right? We're at 15 feet just getting kind of here to the floor level. Yeah, so here's grade, 15 feet is here, which is maybe a little bit above grade on the other sides of the house.
That's the maximum under the code.
Right.
So, Katie, just if I'm understanding this correctly, part of what's driving this is the height of the existing garage being kind of so high up, built into the slope, that now if you want to add on top of it, you have this really small amount of space to work with.
Yes, I think you'd have to, either cut out the grade here to somehow fit a door, or yeah, rebuild and really rethink kind of the slope in this whole area to be able to have occupiable space.
Okay. So the yeah the okay, I understand now, because the yeah because you need a door, you're gonna have to kind of come up to where the land is adjacent to the garage. So you'd have to kind of dig all that out if you wanted to create occupiable space.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So there'd be, either some steps maybe down to a door, and then you have to take steps up to get to the grade surrounding it, or really rework a more substantial part of the front yard grade to make it.
Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
Any other questions for the speaker or for
Yes.
staff? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. And when you're ready, entertain a motion.
I'm sorry, could I?
Sorry, Todd, the public hearing is over at this point. Cliff.
I am not going to make a motion, but
Okay.
I just have to say for the benefit or discussion with the other board members is I'm really having a difficult time with the consistency with criteria or item number six, criteria number six, that is the characteristics of the neighborhood. And looking at the neighboring buildings, and even though they're very different on the lakeside versus the side of the house of the street that this house is on, I just don't see it being consistent with the character of the immediate area. I look at that garage now, and it looks very much like a commercial garage, being 15 plus feet tall, and a big blank wall above the garage door. And so I just have to say, when it comes, and my understanding is the variance request has to comply with all six of the standards, I believe.
Yes.
And
Sorry, I think we need a motion first and then we can discuss.
All right, well,
Yeah.
then I make a motion m motion to refer this or not approve it.
Is there a second?
That's not meant to be
Sam?
a second.
Isn't it
Okay.
only
If you
supposed to be
to make a
approved
motion to refer it, you would have to do that. You won't
at the
be able
end?
to make a motion to not approve something that's just unfortunately not. If you want to make a motion to approve it and it gets denied, that's how it would not be approved. Or you can make a motion to refer it to a later meeting. Those are the two best options. It sounds like that you can decide between.
Well, I would say then of the motion would be to refer it.
The motion was to approve.
Can I ask a point of
Pardon.
information?
Please. Go
Is
ahead.
it
I didn't hear
possible to make?
clearly.
So I think we might be
Sam,
having internet
is that a
problems.
second?
Is it possible to make a motion to reopen public comment so that we can ask Katie additional questions?
You certainly may.
Yeah, well, we can certainly reopen the public hearing. If there was no second to the first motion, we can go for a second motion. And that could be to reopen the public hearing and discuss this further.
I guess, yeah, before I do that, is it possible to just, Cliff, do you think we can work, answer some questions here to get this to address some of your concerns, or is this something that you feel like should be futile to ask additional questions?
Well, I think that we have to make a motion based on the design that's presented to us. And so, the applicant won't have the opportunity to make design changes during this meeting.
Correct. And since I may well be called upon to vote on this item, I would support reopening the public hearing because I think we could discuss options for the design and perhaps have that addressed in coordination with staff as an option for this one. But so Sam had a motion to reopen the public hearing. Is there a second?
Yes, I second.
Thank you. Is there any objection to unanimous approval of that motion? Seeing none, we will reopen the public hearing. And are there questions for the speaker or staff? Sam.
Question to Katie and maybe Cliff is just if you can point us to pictures of the neighboring properties. I guess I didn't catch those in the stat in the report.
Excuse me just a moment. Heather and Steve, I see your hand being raised, but you are not registered to speak at this point and would not be called upon during this part of our meeting. If you did register to speak, that would change the options. Go ahead, Sam. I'm sorry.
I was just asking if I don't know if Katie has pictures of the neighboring properties. Cliff was mentioning Standard 6, and I'm just not intimately aware with the neighboring properties. And I may have missed the pictures that we had of the neighboring properties in
There
comparison.
weren't any. I took a ride down the street on Google Street View.
Yeah,
Information you
that's what
get in
I
the
would have
system.
to be able to share would be Google Street View.
Okay.
I will share that I don't think I'm ever aware that we've denied a variance just based on Standard 6, but there are times that a variance or design needs some work based on Standard 6. But it'd be helpful, I think, if you could, ask some questions or provide some more guidance to the applicant of what might change the outcome if that is even a possibility.
And I share some of Cliff's concerns, and I think the street side elevation looks particularly drab, especially the space between the overhead door and the low roof on the additional part. And my sense would be if something could be done there, that might improve the overall appearance of the space. Cliff.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that elevation right there, as going down Google Street View, all the garages, either on the lakeside or this side of the street, they're typically one story structures, and when we're looking at 15 feet, of the first floor, that is really a two story garage with this one story garage door on it. And I know that the reason they're doing this is to get that second floor, to be as close to the level of the existing house so that they can get in their elevator and go straight in the house. And I understand why they would like to do that. A lot of us have a garage with that's close to the floor level of the house that you're entering into. But particularly because I guess these accessory buildings don't need to comply with the front yard setback. It pushes it right up close to the street. I think, Peter, your observation of it being somewhat drab, I share. I think that even windows above the garage door, and instead of one large garage door, maybe two individual garage doors, if it's wide enough, might break the scale down so that it's not so commercial looking, and give it a little bit more of a residential scale to it.
I think we should probably bring Todd into the discussion of the concerns that have been expressed and see what he has to say on this one. Go ahead and
There
unmute
you go.
yourself.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
just
I
wonder
see
about,
that.
we're in the question part. So if there's specific questions, speed
Okay.
it.
So I see on the front of your garage where you show that. I mean, we could take that down so it wouldn't be as high as it looks. Like, 'cause I get what you're talking about over the top of the garage. If we could get that drawing down so we can make that, like right. Yeah, so it's probably, I don't know what these figures, 5 foot, 6 foot above the top of the garage door. If we can get that down even half that, so it would look more like a, I understand, like a regular garage. And the thing about, on the
Bring that
backside, is that how the yard is on the backside. We can't take that yard down, otherwise that whole back of the house, whole back, the side of the garage at the north and, or excuse me, the east and west side of that garage, we would have, you'd have to take out so much dirt. And because it's kind of hard to see what the back of that lot looks like with it sloping down. But if we could drop that front of that garage roof down, we can definitely do that.
And conceivably, I mean, this is a lesser choice, perhaps, is to put the street side of the second floor even back a little bit. You've got a little grade to play
Yeah.
with there, as from what you.
Right now we have it back. I think we have it back 6 feet from the front of the garage to the second floor. I think it's 6 feet back. The second floor would start, excuse me, like the front of the garage, 6 foot back is where the second floor would start. Yeah, right there. So it's only like 16, I think it's like 16 foot deep. The total garage is 22 foot. So I believe it's only going to be 16 foot deep right now.
The print is too small on my printed copy to verify that. Is the grade shown in the side elevation, the current grade back where you have
Yeah,
that
that's
door?
pretty darn close, right? Like it is right there. Yeah. And the whole front side of the house, it pretty much looks like that from the far right side of the house all the way over to where the garage is. That pretty much is that slope is right there, all the way across the whole yard, the lot, the property.
Okay.
Then it's got the, new paver step. You see, it was they just did some work this summer, put in some new steps, but they had like railroad ties going up there for the last 40 some years. So already, it's probably about where the right hand side of that garage is, probably about 8 foot over to where those stairs start. And it kind of goes up at an angle, kind of to go up to the property, up to their front, excuse me, up to their front door.
Sam, I see you have your hand up.
I'm just wondering, maybe so we can kind of get some evidence into the record here for our
I'm sorry, I've
decision.
got a little problem with my connection here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just going to say, I guess since we're trying to understand the character of the neighborhood, I think it'd be helpful maybe if, Katie, if we could open up Google Street View just quickly, and if we could pull up, I believe it's 5181 Spring Court, which is just kind of like right in front of the property. I think the maybe the most comparable property seems like the next door neighbor, but which is 5127.
This is 5181 Spring Court.
Yeah, so I
Is
guess,
this for your
yep,
thinking?
just looking at this, I think since we're just in that public comment, I don't know if we need to discuss this or we discuss this later, but I think maybe just kind of taking note of this, then the bulk of this property.
My understanding is that at this point you're asking questions and gathering information, and then afterwards you'll be discussing.
Sounds like maybe some additional photographs of the area, though, would be helpful if a referral is how the board decides.
Just so you know, I turned my video off to see if that improves my audio. It has been crackling on me here, so I was having trouble hearing all of that discussion. Cliff, is there anything? We've had some response from the representative to changes. Are there ways you think that the plan could be altered that we could give us recommendations to staff to work out with the applicant? Some final details, or would you prefer having it come back?
I
Hey,
think
did
maybe
you?
that's part should be part of the discussion, not do we have any questions? We don't have a motion
Oh,
yet, I think, Chair.
that's
So
true. I'm sorry. Well, I wanted to get it through, make sure he had the answers he was looking for. Any more questions for the representative here? I'll close the public hearing and open the floor for a motion. Cliff.
okay, I will go ahead and make the motion to refer the application
To a meeting
to a future meeting.
on or before probably our February meeting date, if staff can come up with that for us. Which I think is February 19th.
That's correct.
Make that part of your motion, Cliff.
Yeah, I'm here all week.
All right. Is there a second? Sam. We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion on the motion to refer, and I think we should provide the applicant with some direction on what you feel is necessary to improve the compatibility with Standard 6. Cliff.
Okay, yeah, and for the record, I would like to say that my motion to refer was based on item number 6 and not any of the other ones. So it's really understanding the character of the neighborhood. And I know that the application talked about using some of the colors and the materials and so forth of neighboring buildings, but that doesn't necessarily bring it into character with the street, and particularly the way garages are expressed. There are one or two that are subterranean garages, but others are more conventional garages, and it really gets to the scale of the garage. As I said before, this one looks very, very much like a commercial building with a very high bay lift, like you might have a lift inside there. And so whether I think things like windows above the garage door, I think things like going from two garage doors to one, I think bringing, as the applicant had suggested, maybe continuing and bringing that roof eave level down, any or all of those things could help, I think, make this more compatible with the character of this surrounding neighborhood.
Pretty.
Do we need to go through all six of the standards, even for a referral? I'm trying to remember, Chair. In the past, have we?
No, I don't believe so, because we aren't voting
Okay.
for approval. We
Okay.
would
Thank you.
need to go through them if we were going to approve, but since we're not, we can focus on where the concerns lie.
So the board is welcome to discuss more in depth at this point, since we haven't voted on this motion yet. And then the vote, since it doesn't pertain to those standards, as the chair said, we don't need to go through each one individually. They certainly could if they wanted to, but they're not required to.
Cliff. You're muted, Cliff.
Sorry. I would just like to hear from you and Sam whether there are concerns of any of the other criteria. I don't have any, or the standards rather. I don't have any, but for the benefit of the applicant, if there were any, I think you should hear them.
Sam?
No specific concerns. I would just, I guess, adding to number six, I would say, I think relevant things to consider and maybe bring back for us to consider would be, when we're looking at the character of the immediate neighborhood, one thing that kind of comes to mind is like what is comparable. So I noticed kind of in looking up and down the street that a lot of, or many of the houses on this side of the street, the upwards sloping side of the street. Some of them don't have driveways or garages that are set next to the street. So thinking about houses that maybe are on a slope and have a garage that are next to the road, and then kind of similar if there are houses with similar bulk with that garage below a living space, I think are kind of helpful comparables.
If I would agree with you that I think the first five standards could be met for this, and the concern is really on standard six. I think if additional information were provided about what the street looks like, the street face of the adjacent properties or the block looks like, that would be helpful. But I think really improving the architectural detail of particular the street facing facade, either with changes in cladding or perhaps lowering the wall, the sidewall level of the first 6 feet of the building to bring the space down above the door. You might be able to work something with that too, but like you said, windows in one space or the other. It does present kind of an odd look right there on the street frontage. Any other discussion on the motion? In that case, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote for approval of the motion to refer to honor before our February 19th meeting, which would mean that for the applicant, the need to make changes, and resubmit. And it's unlikely that you could do that in a time frame to meet the January meeting.
Just a note, Chair. On or before, I think then we'd have to push it to March, because the double checking here, but yeah, the deadline has passed for the January meeting.
Okay, the deadline for the February is too soon. What do you
Well,
think?
the January deadline is passed, and if we say that they have to meet on like by February or before, there's no option for before. So if that's fine, then that's fine. I'm pointing that out.
Well, if it was your original motion, would you consider it a friendly amendment from Sam to change it to our on or before our March meeting? And Sam, if you could make that motion, it's not the prerogative of the chair to be making motions.
Yeah,
Emotion. I'm fine with any meeting that works with the deadlines as published and the applicant's ability to make the changes.
I'm
But if we
motioning.
could just have that officially stated on the record, and then Cliff, then you can go ahead and give your thoughts on the friendly amendment.
Do we need the meeting dates?
Our March meeting is the 12th. I'm sorry, but both of you broke up. I've got a bad connection tonight.
I'd like to make a motion to amend Cliff's motion to change it such that the applicant, or rather this, go to the March 12th meeting, given if the applicant is able to submit their materials in a timely manner for that meeting.
Thank you. Cliff, you see that as a friendly amendment?
Yes, no objections.
Thank you.
And
That
I'm so
motion.
sorry to clarify, that's they have to submit on or before for the March meeting or before. Is that
As
what you're
long,
saying?
I think my amendment was just as long as they're able to meet the requirements to be considered in the March meeting, then
Yes.
we'll hear them in the March meeting.
So the current motion is for this to be back to us on or before our March meeting. So they would need to meet the submittal deadline sometime in February. In a convoluted way for our visitors, that's how we got to where we are. Any objection to recording a unanimous vote of approval for the motion?
I'm so sorry. Just a note,
Statement.
because the March meeting is so early, the deadline is not in February, it's actually in January. So they would need to check.
Sorry, what?
Maybe I'm looking
What?
at the wrong. Oh no, I'm so sorry. Sorry, it's February
So
12th. I mix up the columns. Please ignore me. So the deadline for March 12th, which is a week before we usually meet, because we were not able to meet on the third week. The deadline is.
all right. I don't have a lot to change, so I think we'll leave it there. That's where the motion is. And we have approved it at this point.
Okay, so the referrals has been approved. And the applicant can reach out to me about the deadlines to get on the February or March Zoning Board of Appeals meeting.
Yes. All right. Thank you, staff, for helping us get through that one. We will move along to our next agenda item. Discussion and action items. We have a reminder to board members to follow your statement of interest report. If they're not received by the clerk by the end of the year, It won't be able to participate in meetings until it's received, I believe. Or the deadline is January 6th. So if you haven't gotten that in, move that along. Other communications or announcements? I would just have one asking for board members to reply to the request for quorum notice as quickly as they can. So that gives staff a better idea of where we are as far as being able. It's not definitive when you answer that, but it's your best guess since it does come early. Anything from any other board members? Sam?
I have a motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Any concerns about a unanimous approval on this one? All right. Thank you all.
Yep.
See you next
Happy
month.
Holidays, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
Bye.
All right.